One of the advantages of being a chaplain, and I served churches for 14 years and then went into the Navy for 25, is as a Protestant chaplain, I was many things to as many people as I could be. So I did write one out of the Book of Common Prayer for a small group of Episcopalians in Japan, and I waved my arms a little bit with the Pentecostals on board the Truman and everything in between. So, in this crowd, if it's okay, I'm going to take my jacket off.
Thank you.
Loosen my tie. Well, I'd take the tie off, but that might get a little out of hand. Anyway, especially with the contemporary music. It's good to be back at a contemporary service. My last contemporary service was not the most positive experience for me. There was a laywoman in the congregation in Naples, Italy, who Googled my name prior to my guest preaching there and declared me a heretic, based on my seminary education being at the theological school at Drew University, which is a world-renowned Methodist seminary. We had students from all sorts of backgrounds, including Roman Catholic there. But anyway, hopefully you're not going to walk away with that same feeling after my message this morning. But it is good to be here. I'd like to share the New Testament reading, and I'll be using the New International Version. I'm not sure which version you have in the pews, so the wording might be a little bit different if it's different. But I'd like to use the text out of the Gospel of Mark, reading chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Well, that's one of the texts out of the lectionary. If you read them all, from Genesis to Mark to the Psalms to Peter, 1 Peter, there's enough there to prepare a full week of full Lenten season of sermons. I could talk about God's promises in the covenant. I could talk about baptism. I could talk about temptation. I could talk about the Holy Spirit. Well, as you can tell from the sermon title, I'm going to focus on baptism. And I'd like to do it in a little bit different way than maybe you're used to. Perhaps you're used to hearing messages on baptism, about the doctrine of baptism, or what happens or doesn't happen at baptism. I'd like to approach it from a more human perspective this morning. Now, the main New Testament reading that I read is from the Gospel of Mark, who's the speed demon of gospel writers. His is the shortest gospel. He uses the word immediately 40 times. It's only used 39 times in the rest of the entire New Testament. Now, some biblical scholars argue that he does this to create a sense of urgency. Others think it's to demonstrate that Jesus had this great sense of purpose. Others have argued that Mark was really a young guy, a teenager probably, who simply had a unique style of writing when compared with the other gospel writers. Well, it really doesn't matter, does it? The bottom line is, all blocks of Scripture, we can go in many different directions in terms of discussion. What's interesting in Mark, though, compared to the other gospel writers, is Mark skips the beginning. He skips the beginning of Jesus' life and gets right into his ministry, which most biblical scholars put probably at about age 30. Well, what happened to those first 30 years for Mark? Well, maybe he was like my first commanding officer who, when I went in to explain the process leading up to something I wanted to do, politely said, "Chaplain, I don't want to hear about the labor, just deliver the baby." Maybe that's what Mark is doing here. He's just going to deliver the baby to his readers, which is the gospel. As a matter of fact, if you look at the first verses of every gospel, Mark is the only one who calls it a gospel. Right there in verse 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Mark obviously doesn't need all the preliminary info about Jesus that Matthew, Luke, and John write about. He just gets right to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And that beginning is the baptism. Now, before I share my thoughts about how the baptism of Jesus relates to our baptism, I'd like to deal with a little preliminary question that many of us ask at some point. What did happen before this? How did Jesus reach the conclusion that he needed to be baptized? Only the gospel writer Luke, who was more of a historian than the others, gives us some insight into the early years of Jesus. That's why we usually use Luke at Christmas time. But what we do know is very little. We know about the birth. We know about the presentation at the temple, and we know at age 12, he hung back at the temple while Joseph and Mary are heading home and go, "Well, I thought you had Jesus." "No, I thought you had Jesus." And they go back and are shocked to see Jesus not just wandering the city, he's in the temple having a theological discussion with some pretty heady priests. But that's enough for a whole other sermon. Anything else about Jesus' childhood, adolescence, is pure speculation from age 12 on. My speculation is he was growing up those years just like we all do. I'm sure he played with other children, skinned his knees, and was no more or less mischievous than any other child. We do know he was somewhat independent, though. I don't think a dependent child could take off and sit in the temple and talk theology with some wise old teachers without his parents being around. And after the temple incident, Luke tells us that Jesus went back to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them and increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So he was a decent kid. Sounds like a normal childhood to me. Nothing very mystical or magical here. I think Jesus went through all the same hang-ups we do through our teen years. I don't think he sat around all day just reading scripture. I don't think he just kind of, you know how all the artistic images are? Personally, I like the one where he's smiling, and there's another one where he's got a carpenter's block in his hand. Those are the pictures of Jesus I like. I don't think he just... I think he learned the trade of carpentry as a young man. His earthly father was a carpenter. He would learn that. However, while all these processes of normal human childhood are going on, I think there was something stirring deep in his soul and in his times of prayer. There was an inner dynamic of trying to figure out who he was and what he was to do with his life. I personally don't believe Jesus was born with the full knowledge of God and, like a robot, lived his life as if he was programmed right from the start in terms of what he was supposed to do. Now, if somebody can prove me wrong, I'm open. But that's my thought. I think he wrestled with the idea of vocation just like we all had to do and still have to do and sooner or later had to make decisions. Now, when I use that word vocation, I don't mean job or work. I mean it in the context of calling. Many of us have a job, but our vocation is what we feel called to do, which may or may not be related to our job, and that's okay. But you know, it must have been extremely difficult for Jesus wrestling with the tension between his humanity and the unique expression of God's Spirit within him. It had to be difficult. But sooner or later, he had to make a decision. Do I fulfill the will of my Heavenly Father as I discern it to be, or do I walk away? It is his decision that brings us to his baptism. It's mentioned in all four Gospels, so we can be reasonably sure it happened. Matthew in chapter 3 has the most extensive account and points out that Jesus was purposeful. Mark just mentions the baptism. Matthew writes as if it was his intention. This was not something he did as he was strolling by the Jordan one day going, gee, I think I'll be baptized by John today. It seems like a good day. The sun is shining. The water is warm. Why not? Matthew records he came from Galilee to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized. But why? Those who question the need for Jesus to be baptized believe he never sinned. I don't know about that one. And before you get mad at me, let me explain. The Hebrews had 600 plus laws. Some were obvious like the Ten Commandments, but then there were rules that covered the most small and mundane issues of living. Now, I may be wrong, but I think Jesus, as a young boy and as a teenager, might have missed out on a few of those. But who knows? Who cares? None of the gospel writers present Jesus as having any knowledge of personal sin. So let's stick with that. Let's assume he was perfect. Some may argue he was perfect from the day he was conceived. I would argue that he became perfect in that moment that we're going to get to in 1 second. If he never sinned, why would he have to be baptized, especially by John the Baptist, whose whole teaching revolved around a call to repentance, which means to turn away from sin? Well, I think Jesus wanted to identify with his people. If the people were going to listen to what he had to say, he must be one of them, not separate. Another reason I believe Jesus came to be baptized was to affirm what slowly dawned on him during those years from 12 to 30. He came to know that his God, his Heavenly Father, had some purpose for him, and like our own baptism, this was an affirmation of who he was and what he should do with his life. I believe we can assume a slow clarifying in Jesus' mind, a deepening awareness during his years in Nazareth that God had for him a destined and destiny-making task that affects all of us. If it didn't, we wouldn't be gathered here today. I believe Jesus sought baptism because he knew God had a great commission to lay upon him. And then in verse 10 and 11 is the most beautiful image of Jesus coming up out of the water, God's Spirit descending like a dove and a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." In this scene, a ritual with water becomes intimately linked with a revelation of God through the Holy Spirit and the unique consciousness of God within Jesus. is fulfilled. At this point, the story becomes one of vocation. The baptism of Jesus is not just a baptism of repentance with water, but is also a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and hence the ordination of Jesus for his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. In that moment, I believe Jesus, the human man, becomes the divine Christ of faith by the action of God through the Holy Spirit. Now, my sermon title this morning is based on the idea that in many ways the story of Jesus is our story. Jesus must have reflected on who he was and what he was to do, what his purpose in life was to be. We do the same. And it doesn't matter what age you are. I'm 64. I'm still figuring out, what do I want to do next? I keep looking up and saying, God, what do you have for me next? So it's not something we do just at a young age, but we do it throughout our entire lives. I read a book years ago by John Coburn, who was an Episcopal bishop at the time. And he said, when we begin to reflect upon who we are, we too can begin with our baptism. What is asked by the pastor doing the baptizing? What name shall I give this child? Even though we're named, that's the ritual where we are named before God. If we're baptized as adults, we're making a conscious decision to change our lives before God. It's at our baptism that we are identified as a Christian, as unique people who have something to offer the world. Bishop Coburn further pointed out that at his baptism, Jesus accepted his time, the circumstances he was in, and the people of his time. He didn't wish for a different time or different circumstances. I often wonder what it would be like if Jesus came today and had the advantage of Facebook and Twitter and things I don't even know about. Maybe he could reach more people at once, maybe. But Jesus saw his time as the only time, the fullness of time. It's no different for us. And as we accept ourselves and where we are is key to our understanding ourselves as unique people created by God. How often do we think we can only really be ourselves by changing ourselves or changing others or wishing we lived in a different time and place? At his baptism, Jesus accepted who he was, what he was to do, and moved forward. At our baptism, a vocational choice was made for us at our confirmation. We accepted that choice. Jesus was baptized by total immersion in the Jordan River. Maybe we were not baptized by total immersion. I don't know. Maybe some of you were. But what is this time of Lent? Lent is a time to look forward and reflect. So this is a good time to ask, do we discover and know who we really are in our circumstances in this time and place through total immersion in our faith and its people? Jesus came to an understanding of who he was through a fundamental decision at a turning point in his life. Is it any different for us? God usually speaks to us through the pressure points in our lives, whether we know it or accept it or not. It is at these pressure points we are forced to make a decision that God helps us discover who we are and who he is calling us to be. Picture that inner pressure building in Jesus for years. But he had some advantages. His faith was central to his life. It was supported by the people around him. And he was not distracted by iPhones, computers, TV, and the like. He spent quality time with his Heavenly Father in prayer and made a decision. He made a decision just the way you and I have to make decisions when pressure has built up and we come to turning points in our lives. Sometimes they're small, sometimes they're big. So in closing, I just want to ask you to do yourself a favor this Lenten season, to try and discover who you really are. Turn off the technology for at least an hour a day and repeat the verse in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And listen. Where are the pressure points in your life? Where are you being forced to make fundamental decisions? Where are you being drawn beyond what you think God created you to be? What in your life do you need to change? What answers you keep coming up with are probably where God is calling you to be yourself, just as he called Jesus. At his baptism, Jesus accepted who he was, what he was to do, and moved forward. At your baptism, you were marked as a child of God, loved by God, and put on this earth for a purpose. Spend some time this Lenten season focusing on that fact, and then move forward, and do so under the umbrella of God's grace. Amen.